Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. I just have one question. What the hell is wrong with some of you?
Oh, are you talking about me and my stat messing up?
No, not right now.
For those that didn't stick around, just real quick, the Texans are 16th in pressure percentage right now. Percentage of time they pressure the quarterback. Last year they were like fourth to last. So yeah. That is a definite improvement so far this year over last year.
That's a big payoff. I just looked out the window down at traffic on 59. I'm looking down.
Yeah.
Oh, 50 cars just pulled over to the side.
Because they were confused about me messing up the stats.
And if I put my ear to the glass, I can hear them all getting out of their cars and looking at each other and said, did you hear that? 16th. 16th, yeah. I say.
I did this yesterday when I was on with Clinton Show. I screwed up like four stats as soon as I got on right off the bat. And
the best was you correcting them while they were in interview with you.
Correcting them?
No, correcting you correcting yourself. Oh, yeah. Like they're getting ready to talk to you, and you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, you're counting down the list.
Back in the day, there used to be, like, a squadron of interns helping you out with stuff
like
this.
I know,
Now it's me and a laptop. Yeah.
It's very entertaining. That's all I'm saying. What is wrong with you people that are doing these things on TikTok? Seth,
those
people. Not the stat nerds. No.
Oh.
No, the NyQuil marinated chicken is the latest TikTok challenge, I guess. I'm looking at still shots of the video of people. I mean, look, I like me a good Italian dressing on mine. I like any sort of soy sauce at times can be a good marinade. What, barbecue sauce is a great marinade.
Yeah,
these are people dumping green NyQuil on chicken and then cooking the damn things.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that this is real. Have they cited stats on anything like number of people that have?
I love how you need stats on
eternal
this.
Bliss. Yeah, I do need stats on this because I feel like it's one of this is what happens on social media all the time, and they really in these cooking videos where it's like an absurd thing that they're doing that's obviously not meant to even be edible. They're like dumping Cheetos on top of creme brulee and then wrapping it in a burrito wrap. And I'm always astounded at how many people get like deeply offended by whatever dish is being made. I'm like, obviously this person is trolling us all. And they got us to watch for 8 minutes just waiting to see what might become of it.
2 million of you to watch it for 8 minutes.
I feel like that's what this is. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it's not the first time anybody's thought of dipping a gummy and alcohol type of situation or a tequila worm in tequila. This is just taking it to an extreme where you're using what is probably the most powerful, legally available over-the-counter street drug around NyQuil.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there are times I'm astounded that it's still legal.
I agree.
To just buy over-the-counter.
Totally.
Yeah, and dripping a relatively healthy food choice, grilled chicken breast into it.
This is what it says. The NyQuil chicken trend is one of the most dangerous trends on TikTok right now. The challenge involves taking a swig of NyQuil and then eating a chicken wing. While it may seem harmless, the combination of alcohol and chicken can be pretty dangerous. The alcohol. Now I'm seeing that's swigging it and then
one.
A chicken wing. No, but
that's
picture the picture above it has them marinating chicken as well. So there's one now where the ones
actually cooking it in NyQuil.
And cooking it in NyQuil, right?
Yeah.
Marinating it and then cooking it with the NyQuil on it. The alcohol in NyQuil can increase the risk of choking on the chicken wing. That's if you're doing this chicken wing thing. The marinated chicken breast one, what I've heard is that when you cook it, when you cook the NyQuil,
yeah,
the composition of the NyQuil can change and make it even more dangerous to consume.
Yeah. There's no, at least with that chicken wing one, you know what the dosage is.
Yeah.
Where with the cooking the chicken thing, you don't know how much of the NyQuil you're getting. Yeah, just don't do this, kids. Whatever you do. I made a good joke on Twitter yesterday. And Sean, you'd be proud of me. Because this was a joke that only some people would get, and maybe only people like people our age or people from Houston might be the only ones that get it. And I just let it lay there, knowing that a lot of people wouldn't get the joke and
would
just think
us.
It was stupid. I just said above a picture of this NyQuil marinated chicken, I just said that's some lean meat, and and a lot of people really, really liked that, and other people thought it was just very wildly irresponsible dietary advice.
I love that.
I started, then I was brainstorming, like, chopped and screwed chicken and other stuff. But I, it was, this is, look, if there's one thing we know in Houston, it's the hazards and dangers of mixing standard food stuffs with cough syrup.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
So, you know, whether it's the lean or whether it's NyQuil, NyQuil-infused chicken, just stay the hell away from it. You might think it's going to bring you lyrical success, and maybe it will for a short while, but ultimately, the price you pay is death.
Yeah, the FDA felt the need to actually speak out on this. So, Seth, if you're skeptical about people actually doing this, just know that the FDA, while most of the TikToks showing how to make, they call it sleepy chicken, named for the NyQuil it is seemingly cooked in, the FDA went as far as to issue an updated warning on this. It looks like earlier this week. Boiling a medication can make it much more concentrated and change its properties in other ways. Even if you don't eat the chicken, this is the big one, kids. Inhaling the medication's vapors while cooking could cause high levels of the drugs to enter your body and also hurt your lungs. So the chicken one that the chicken wing one I was reading at first, you're right. That's much more safe because you're just swigging NyQuil and eating a chicken wing. Still wouldn't recommend it, but cooking the NyQuil is a really bad thing. Don't NyQuil.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think any disclaimer we give about it changes things. When most people hear is like, oh, here's instructions for how to make NyQuil infused chicken.
Yeah.
The same way anything on the internet these days. Like I spent a half hour learning how to grow certain types of mushrooms yesterday that I could order by mail. Like no big deal. They just there you go. That wasn't available 20 years ago.
Let me ask the question everybody is wondering right now, because you brought it up. Are you going to grow your own mushrooms now?
No, I'm not. I'm actually, if I do, I've been reading a lot about, there's been a reawakening of using psychedelics in therapy, and because they started off as, like, very promising psychological or psychiatric therapies back when LSD was first discovered, and but then they got rolled into everything else. But I, as a responsible law abiding citizen,
sure,
who's also a parent, I'm going to do it like with in Oregon, or I think in New York City, there's actually like legal therapy. It's legal, basically.
Therapeutic shrooms.
Under certain circumstances.
Okay,
yeah.
Under supervision.
No, I can't, dude. I'm too crazy to, like, go off and start messing with psychedelics at the age of 47 for the first time.
I don't know.
All of a sudden, Seth Payne's going to be dancing naked down Kirby or something.
Yeah, might be good for the show. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it'd be good for the show, but bad for Seth long term. I don't need that.
No, you don't want to go viral.
I'd trip balls for the first time, and then all of a sudden you come over to my place 3 weeks later, and I'd be sitting there wearing like a wreath, a crown of flowers over my head, buck naked, while I like encouraged.
Good for the show.
Encourage Brandy to go out and have like extramarital relationships to expand our horizons and stuff. Yeah.
Now that would get really bad for you, but again, possibly good for the show. I'm just saying. So this NyQuil challenge, I got a list of TikTok challenges here, Seth. Where does the NyQuil challenge for you? Because you're not a doctor, but you fancy yourself one on the radio.
I watch a lot of YouTube videos. There's very few people who are as learned as I, given the number of YouTube videos that I've watched.
He watches a lot of TikTok videos to see these challenges, then goes to YouTube to see how dangerous they all are.
Yes.
The blackout challenge, that is also known as the pass out challenge. That's the one where people make themselves faint by holding their breath and then constricting their chest muscles.
Why do you need TikTok for that? I learned that from Kathy May when I was 8 years old. Like that's not a new internet deal or anything.
Well, it was a TikTok challenge at one point called the Blackout Challenge. Is that more
okay,
Dr. Seth? Is that more or
like
less
TikTok,
dangerous?
TikTok's already
TikTok's what?
I'd say that's less dangerous.
Okay, less dangerous. I got you. Then the NyQuil or bees shooting challenge. Apparently, people on TikTok are shooting little colorful water pellets at each other from close range.
What happens? What's the bad thing that can happen?
I guess you can get welts, you know, things like that. You could get hit in the eye. You could get an eye taken.
That's bottom of the list.
Bottom of the list.
Danger. So what do we have on the top? What happens with the blackout challenge? What's the worst case scenario there?
They said the worst case scenario here is it can lead to serious health problems, including brain damage and death.
Okay. I think I'm going to put NyQuil up above it just because I feel like kids have been doing the blackout challenge since the 1800s.
Yeah, we used to do it. You would breathe like real heavy, and then you'd stand up and you would have a friend press your sternum in the middle of your chest. And you'd
the difference was nobody had it on video unless one of your friends had a massive camcorder. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The Orbeez shooting, that's basically you're just trying to dodge some things.
Orbeez shooting?
That's the colorful pellets I was just telling you about. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's just welts. I don't think he can die from that.
We played with pump pellet guns. Is that even a TikTok challenge yet?
Well, here's one, the Benadryl challenge. According to this article, this is one of the most dangerous trends to come out of TikTok. The challenge involves taking excessive allergy medication, leading to serious health complications including seizures and death. Some people had to be hospitalized after participating in this challenge.
I feel like TikTok is getting a lot of credit for doing stuff that irresponsible kids have been doing all along.
They're plagiarizing is what they are. They're a bunch of plagiarists.
Three out of four that we've discussed so far are things that have already existed long before TikTok.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The milk crate challenge. Now, this is one I feel is new. You're back, TikTok.
I miss it. Oh. I'd say that's second most dangerous. Oh, boy, that was dangerous.
Okay, for those who haven't seen it, first of all, Google it. God. The videos are tremendous. But the milk crate challenge is one of the most dangerous TikTok trends. The challenge involves people climbing to the top of a milk crate, a pile of milk crates, and then jumping off. This can lead to serious injuries as people can fall and hit their heads on the ground. I don't know if a description on the radio can do it justice. You have to go see these videos to see people climbing to the top of these milk crates. It is wild, man.
It builds suspense in such a perfect way, too, because it gets dicier and dicier as they get to the top, and you're pulling for the hero, and yet also there's a part of you that wants to see the hero fail. It's a Greek tragedy in, like, 45 seconds. It's awesome.
I'm looking at a bunch of still shots of these milk crate challenges. I need to go find the videos because one of them is some dude that is literally upside down, like perpendicular to the ground, and he's got like maybe another 10 inches before his head hits the ground. There's no way this dude didn't break his neck. Yeah.
Sean, in a more wholesome time, back when I was a kid, you know, like 2012 or so, planking was the big challenge.
I remember.
You know, it wasn't, or maybe you'd try to eat, what were you trying to eat? Like some powdery substance. People would try to eat like a certain amount of.
The cinnamon challenge.
I guess that was dangerous too, though. But it felt like at least it didn't involve drugs. It involved just foodstuffs.
Yeah.
Where I think that the planking, I don't know why planking fell out of favor, but planking was a good thing. The dancing thing that it would do with the masks and stuff, remember that?
Yeah.
That was fun. Good wholesome fun when we were kids.
Yeah, you know what the least dangerous challenge is, Seth? The ones where you're reacting to nasty videos on the internet. You know, like where someone's got a camera on you and you're watching one of those videos. I'm not going to give the names out of the videos because I don't need kids Googling it these days. But just a good old reaction video to something nasty on the internet. That's the safest one, I would say.
Oh, I didn't. I know about reaction videos, but I don't know about the specific one you're talking about.
I'll tell you during the break.
If the kids don't need to know.
Yeah, it involves a cup.
Oh, the Harlem Shake was the dance I was thinking of. I miss every now and then I hear like there's a song that has a little bit of that same beat. Mm-hmm. I start wanting to do the Harlem Shake. kind of like I freeze like a statue.
Yeah.
And then I wait for the drop, and then I get funky.
So we're in this segment, looking back now at the last 12 minutes, in this segment, do you think we did a service to people, kids, and parents out there by pointing these challenges out, or do you think we gave way too many kids bad ideas to try on TikTok right now?
Most of the kids that might be swayed one way or the other are actually in school right now.
Yeah.
Most of the kids that actually heard that advice are probably responsible for creating the trend in the first place.
Okay.
So the kids that are skipping school or whatever, they're way ahead of us on this. They're like, oh, Seth and Sean are talking about that NyQuil thing that was big 6 months ago.
They sound old again. All right. Just check. Should we have done this at 7 o'clock? That's my question, I guess.
If you had a school age kid right now, if Sammy was a young kid and you went home and you said, hey Sammy. Listen, I heard about this this NyQuil challenge. He would have given you the Dad. I did that. Remember when I went to the hospital 6 months ago?
Yeah,
I've been there. This is old news.
Yeah. They still my sons still get like that sometimes. I accidentally tweeted yesterday that Nick Martin had been signed by the Titans for whatever reason. I thought somebody had typed Titans. And it was Commanders, and I actually retweeted it with a snarky comment about the Titans. And Sammy sends the tweet to the group text. He's like, "Pops, you need to get some sleep, bro."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "He got signed by the Commanders, not the Titans." Oh, okay.
Sorry, it's getting to that. I've noticed that Aaron Wilson had an uncharacteristic mistake like that where he said the wrong team.
It was yesterday. He said the Titans, about Nick Martin,
I think. Yeah, oh, okay.
I thought he did. So, I mean, it was Aaron Wilson who I thought said Titans, and I retweeted the one that said Commanders. Yes,
okay.
I thought he said Titans. I swear to God I saw Titans. I'm getting old, but not that old.
No, I think it's after week two of the NFL season. People are a little overwhelmed. That first week of the season, I always get a little overwhelmed about how much stuff is going on.
Yeah.
Well, and every year at the beginning of the season, I say, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to watch the condensed version of every single game.
I said that a week ago. I did. It's not happening.
And then I fail, and I blame it on Brandy.
Yep.
You're strangling me in my career, woman.
I do the same thing. This is all Brandy's fault. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll get to the Astros. They win again last night. But let's do a little Yankee Schadenfreude. Let's talk a little Astros and a little Yankee Schadenfreude, because the odds are the Yankees might be crying come this offseason. We will tell you why next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, welcome back. Good to be with you on a Wednesday. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop in the next segment of the show, find out what they've got going on the show. 713-572-4610 if you want to weigh in on anything we've been talking about today. The Astros, they win yesterday, 5-0. So the Tampa Bay Rays, a playoff team as of right now, and they probably will make the playoffs, have scored 0 runs against the Astros in 2 games. Tonight is a Lance McCullers night. So he's back home in South Florida in the Tampa St. Pete area. Gets to pitch in front of some friends, I would imagine, and hopefully he keeps the trend going here. They were talking about last night on the broadcast, Seth. They were laying out on the broadcast, Todd Callis and Jeff Blum, the 7 starting pitchers for the Astros right now, and obviously they're not going to go into the postseason with 7 starting pitchers. Mm-hmm. They laid it out sort of graphically, and I felt good about the take the other day when we were talking about it. The way they laid it out, Verlander, Fromber, and Lance were sort of across the top of the graphic in a bigger size and font. The other 4 guys, Urquidy, in no particular order, Urquidy, Garcia, Hunter Brown, and Christian Javier, they were in smaller font across the bottom. And Callis and Blum were saying, that's a good kind of graphical look at it because that's probably how it's going to play out. Those first 3 guys are not going to get handled with any special kid gloves or any sort of piggybacking treatment or anything. They're going to go as far as they can go, and then it's going to be conventional baseball, whereas the other 4 are probably going to be some sort of piggyback relief mix if all 4 of them are on the playoff roster.
Yeah, yeah, and I think a lot of it the debate about exactly how it should go and how it should look is really wasted breath when what it's going to come down to is specific matchups versus lineups. And that's where it gives them a lot of flexibility. And depending on whether it's a lefty heavy lineup or, and if Dusty chooses to go by the actual stats or by old school notions of who's good versus lefties and righties. So that's where it gets a little bit interesting. But I think it's as simple as they've got a lot of guys who are very comfortable being either a starter or a reliever, and that ego is not going to be wrapped up and involved in it the way I think that people, I think even just less than 10 years ago, thought a lot more about that stuff, whereas modern pitchers just don't care as much about it. And with the Astros, they've shown what flexibility in your pitching staff can do in the playoffs. So there's a track record there. And I think what it comes down to is almost in a way, Dusty, who gets plenty of, I think, justified criticism at times for some of his moves. When you've got that many good options from which to choose, it somehow brings more scrutiny when it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
That it's we're all going to say, well, it's obvious that Abreu was a stupid choice at that point. What the hell are you doing?
Well, because
you could have had Hunter come in instead of a stupid reliever. What are you doing?
Because when you've got a bunch of high performing guys and you choose one that performs poorly, the immediate hair trigger reaction is, why didn't you use high performer over here who didn't get in the game? You know?
Yeah, it was just so clear that Garrett Cole, for instance, who's never been a reliever before, it would be just fine coming in compared to leaving the starter. It's never so simple when it doesn't work out.
Performance-wise, Hunter Brown should be on the playoff roster, but they were debating and discussing it last night. And I get it; it's 2-3 games, whatever it's been for 2 starts and 1 relief appearance. But he has been not just statistically dynamic, Seth. Like, you watch him pitch. And he first of all, he looks like Verlander pitching. His pitching motion looks exactly like Justin Verlander, which has been his goal from the time he touched a baseball, it sounds like, because he's from Detroit, where Justin pitched
like
for so many years.
He's like the new singer for Journey. It's like you can't even tell the difference between
him and the original
Steve Perry. If you looked at him, you can tell the difference, but you listen to him and you can't tell.
That's
likewise,
right.
Hunter Brown, if you didn't see the face, then, and somebody told you that's Verlander.
Yeah.
Like, if you scrutinized it, you'd be able to figure it out. But it's almost even like Hunter Brown, he stands, you know, Verlander's got kind of like a little bit of an awkward, almost like knock-kneed way he stands.
Yes.
It looks unathletic.
Yes.
It's weird because he's so good, but he stands kind of funny. Even Hunter Brown stands that way. So if somebody told you that was Verlander, you'd be like, okay, cool, whatever. And you wouldn't think too much about it.
Yeah.
That's how weirdly he mimics his motion.
Yeah, and his stuff is electric. His stuff is electric. So I guess the reason you debate it is because it is Dusty that's making these decisions, presumably. I don't know. Maybe the front office is involved, I would think, maybe, with putting the playoff roster together, which 26 guys they take into a playoff series, to me, there's no debate. Like, to me, if you're going to be leaving guys off of the playoff roster, it's going to come from – if you're leaving somebody from the starting rotation off of the playoff roster, it's going to come from probably, I would say, either Luis Garcia or Jose Urquidy, one of those two.
Yeah. I guess yeah, and I guess, boy, the biggest difference, though, too, is both those guys have done well in the playoffs as young, unproven players.
Experience, and they have experience now.
But I'm almost thinking they have experience, but I'm thinking about the fact that they also did really well as young, inexperienced players in the playoffs. So it feels hypocritical almost to say, like, well, those guys are experienced versus Hunter Brown, when those guys themselves were very impressive as young, unproven players in the playoffs. If anything, the interesting thing is going to be the mix of starters to relievers on the final playoffs roster.
Yep, absolutely it will. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop here in just a few minutes. Seth, I like the fact that you go scouring the internet for odds these days. This is a fun new wrinkle in Seth Payne that I'm really enjoying.
Because I don't actually have to think about these player odds. I can just do when it comes to player prop bets and or things like whether Aaron Judge will be a New York Yankee next year. I've been pushing this. I've been trying to get something going where I create like a kind of a belief or a theory that Aaron Judge wants to come to the Astros, and I'm not getting anybody that's taking me on it. Like, even when I ask hypotheticals, like, nobody thinks that Aaron Judge would go to the Astros, and it's been disappointing to me. But I didn't realize that, despite the fact that he's not thought to be remotely close to coming to the Astros, the odds are right now that he won't be a New York Yankee next year. It's plus 175 that he's with the Yankees next year. That's a 36.4% probability versus the field, which it would be the favorite. So, yes, the Yankees are the most favored team to which he would return. But when you add up everybody else, it's the Giants, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Red Sox. One of those teams is most likely, it's most likely it'll be one of those teams more so than the New York Yankees, which will make me oh so happy, especially if it's this is what I really need to happen to make maximum misery for the New York Yankees. I need Aaron Judge to sign with a new team within days of their playoff departure.
He just says,
nope, I'm out of here. The Garrett Cole style, just in the clubhouse, is giving an interview about how he's not even a Yankee anymore. I need him to be a complete bitch about this. Please, Aaron Judge, be a complete and total bitch about
this. Put a hat on that's your agency, not a Yankee hat. Say, I guess I got to do this press conference as a representative of myself, like Garrett Cole did. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Total bitch. I like that.
It would be. I mean, the ultimate would be if he does a Kevin Durant, and if the Astros knock the Yankees out of the playoffs, and then he comes and
joins them,
the Astros.
Yes.
Because he wants to win a championship finally.
I'll take it all the way, and not just the Astros knock them out, but they come back from down 3-1 to knock them out of the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I don't need that much drama in my
life. If I know they win, I'm cool with it. Yeah.
No, sweeps. I just want all sweeps. For the rest of the time, Sean, I lose too much sleep during playoff season in base. It's too much. Ever since post-Harvey, I haven't recovered from the post-Harvey sleep deficit yet of watching the Astros play baseball while we're also trying to do all that cleanup stuff.
I think about that a lot. I think about, okay, do I want a total stress-free championship, or I know your answer is yes. Do we not look back at that 2017 championship maybe slightly more fondly, that they won 13-12 in extra innings in a pivotal Game 5, that they had to go on the road to Game 7 and win it at Dodger Stadium?
That was fun. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It was fun as hell, and it makes it more fun to look back at.
Sean, you sound like the teenage girl that never grew up and realized that drama in relationships does not equal love.
I think that's probably a fairly accurate depiction, and I think some would argue that I've carried that into my 40s and 50s in my everyday life. I like looking back fondly I look back more fondly at championships where you had to go through some struggle to get to. That's, you know.
I don't need to look back on things in life anymore. Who knows if I'll be alive to look back on it? I just need the championship. I need to get this and be happy with it. I don't need there to be any extra thing to it. I'm the 45-year-old woman who just wants a good man with a job who treats me right, and that's it. I don't need somebody that scares me a little bit or I feel insecure about it.
Roof over my head.
Just give me a nice, boring missionary championship, please.
free to just fiddle around with the air conditioning all day while you sit at home. Yeah. Hey, Seth, these teams, so you mentioned it, the Yankees, they're the favorite to land Judge, but they're not a greater than 50% chance to land him, according to the odds makers. The odds makers say 36.4% chance. Giants are second on the board at, looks like, 3-1. The Mets are third on the board at 5.5-1. Dodgers are 8-1. Red Sox are 8.5-1. I would say of those four, Giants, Mets, Dodgers, Red Sox, if I were rooting for one of those teams to get Judge, the sauciest one would be the Red Sox because they would face him a bunch of times during the year. Or the Mets,
yeah.
They don't play a ton against each other, but it would be just fantastic theater watching it play out in New York that way.
It would be great theater. I think two things would have to happen. The Mets would have to sustain this good play that they've had. Because then it's, you know, if the Yankees fans can just sit there and say, yeah, take that, you bum. And the second part is I just don't think that's as likely to happen, because I think that Aaron Judge has lived in New York long enough to know what New Yorkers are like. And all of those things that people say, people claim that people don't say in real life, that they say on the internet. No, New Yorkers will say that in real life. You know, when they say like, oh, you're a keyboard warrior and you won't say that in real life. No. They'll say it. And they'll say it frequently and loudly.
Yes.
So especially if there's a cell phone camera on them and they can put it on the TikTok.
Yep.
So I don't think Aaron Judge wants to subject himself to that.
Okay. As long as he doesn't wind up with the Yankees after the season is over, that is sufficient schadenfreude for me. All right. Final segment coming up. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. I want to revisit Jalen Petrie because we've got folks weighing in on the text page. Jalen Petrie lives at home with his parents. Good idea for an NFL player to do? We will discuss that as we roll on here towards the top of the hour. That is next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of texts from earlier in the show. Jalen Petrie, great article on ESPN.com from DJ Bienname, talking about how Jalen Petrie, native of Stafford, grew up in Stafford, played high school ball in Stafford, living with his parents in Stafford. Yeah, he got a $3.6 million signing bonus. Guess what? When you live with your folks, you get to keep more of that $3.6 million signing bonus. A lot of people weighing in on the text page still on that. I think it's a cool story, but 713254 says his parents need to kick him out. What's wrong with people? It's their son. What are you talking about?
I think that guy was joking. That's I saw that and I laughed because I figured it's not like Jalen Petrie isn't it's not like he's at home with no job. I've thought about that before because there's times where I've thought, you know, I'd like to have my kids around. I wouldn't mind, but they got to be working. So as long as they're working and, you know, keeping up with the chores and contributing, I would have my kid pay rent, I think, you know, unless there's extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
But if they're past college, if they're living at home, they got to have a job. And then at least some kind of contribution. If not rent, then some kind of contribution.
Yeah, I went 7 months at home after I graduated. I was working from about the week I got home from graduation.
Yeah.
My parents didn't charge me rent, though. They didn't charge me anything. They let me live there 7 months. I was ready to move out. I was pretty psyched to get my own place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. You know, if you think about just how the social norms change, back when the majority of Americans were farmers, living with your parents was no big deal. That's what you did until you got married.
Yep.
It's just you got married when you were 15.
Everything was condensed.
So, but even then, though, a lot of people, it was very common for people to live in the same. Then you'd still live there with your wife and kids and have bigger extended families within the home. So, yeah, I encourage more people, as long as you're still also, you know, becoming a responsible adult.
Sure.
To live with your, it's good to have family around.
Be like Jalen Petrie. Live with your parents. Find a job where you get a $3.6 million signing bonus.
Yes.
And then get on with your life. Yeah.
Not enough kids these days are earning $3.6 million right out of college.
A bunch of losers.
Frankly,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's it used to mean something to be right. 22 years old.
Right.
That you would go out and get a $3.6 million a year job and help your parents with the heating and electric.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know who else is from Stafford? Larry is from Stafford. He wants to weigh in on Jalen Petrie. Larry, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Sean? Seth, we going to hit that Jalen Petrie and Stafford thing last on this deal. Couple things real quick, Sean. Don't change, man. Continue to enjoy the drama and living out looking back, man, because I still enjoy looking back on Akeem blocking John Starks' shot, man, and when Ralph Sampson went to Boston and fell over and let Boston steal a championship. And with Seth admitting that he just wants to lie there in the missionary position and just have it easy, that is so surprising to me,
whoa,
man.
Whoa. Hey, you got too graphic. That got too graphic.
For those just tuning in.
Now I understand why people get so uncomfortable when I make those analogies. I never actually visualize it. Oh, no.
Exactly, man. Nah, dog, you still got to be in the game, man. Put in a little effort, Seth. Look here. But, I was just cutting up and laughing, man. But, hey, on this Aaron Judge thing real quick, I hope Aaron Judge leave New York as fast as he can because we in Houston get an added benefit of his ass leaving Garrett Cole up there by himself to have to deal with that silliness. That would be one of the greatest things ever because Garrett Cole knows his ass should have never left Houston in the first place. And that media is already itching to cut his ass a new one. So I'm looking forward to Aaron Judge heading to Houston, man. That'll be funny. Look, I was in Chicago doing 2012 when Arian Foster caught that touchdown from Matt Schaub. Me and my wife was on that end, and it was raining and storming. And Aaron was just that dog, man. And the only thing I really truly didn't like about Chicago is that inside their stadium, they still had two TVs at the concession stand. And this was in 2012. And me and my wife were looking at the TV and it was fuzzy and had like those rainbow lines going through it. And so I'm like, man, they got to have more money than this in Chicago. But that's what I remember about that 2012 Arian Foster. Now on this Jalen Petrie thing. Most people tend to sleep on people from Stafford like me, you know. And Jalen's parents have raised him with great values because I pass by that UPS location right there all the time. And if Jalen Petrie understands, living at home with your mom and daddy is the best thing you can do. They make oxtails. They make food that you can eat that you don't have to get at the facility over there at NRG. And you get to keep all that cashola in your pocket. Look, it's a great story, man. I enjoy DJ doing it because people don't realize that Stafford, it takes me 15 minutes to get from my house to the stadium, and that's the greatest thing in the world. And all my buddies have been trying to tell me to move to the Woodlands and out there where old John Lopez live out there in Lake Walden. Hell no. It's one shot straight up Maine to get to where I'm trying to get. Because I'm going over there to see them boys on Kirby. Davis Mills, pull your head out your ass, son, and start playing football in our hall.
Nice drive-by on Davis Mills at the end by Larry there.
yeah, that's true. It's having your parents home cooking. That's a big part too. Yeah,
DJ mentioned that though. That's been the other big adjustment. Is the Jalen does bring food home from the stadium and eat it there because his mom is a great cook.
Too good a cook. Because he's trying to eat clean and everything.
Yes.
That's actually been a big
adjustment.
By the way, since the Texans are playing in Soldier Field and Larry and Stafford mentioned it, I was a little bit wrong about my description of Arian Foster's performance that year. It was really interesting. I remember he had been slipping and falling a lot, but it was at NRG. He'd had every single time on the road that year, by the time they played Chicago, it was in week 9, he'd had over 100 yards rushing on the road. At home, 79 yards, 86 yards, 29 yards versus Green Bay, 98 yards versus Baltimore, so that was a good one. But he had not been really good at home other than versus Buffalo up to that point.
Interesting.
But, yeah, it was. I remember being concerned about him at Soldier Field, and it was just fine. He ran for over 100 yards.
I was at the game, too, that night that Larry's talking about. It was pouring rain that night.
Right. It was a really sloppy, ugly mess of a game.
Yep, 13-6, I think, was the final score of that game. Text message. This is a good text message, given the fact that Larry just referenced John Lopez, who's sitting in studio with us, saying,
hello.
Larry and Stafford saying, I'm not driving out from the hills where Lopez lives way the hell out there. Text message. Tell Jalen Petrie to go get a $500,000 house in the Heights. There are plenty, and they are new, and they are nice. I think it's appropriate to bring up because you are looking at moving back into the city.
Put in a contract yesterday for
really?
A house. Shout out to the first ward.
Bravo.
Bravo.
Good job, John Lopez.
Shout out to the first ward.
Okay.
First ward problems.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they say they got now with Lopez.
First ward problems.
So where is that again?
Right off of Houston Ave. Basically, down. I can see the skyline.
Washington.
Yeah, right by Houston Ave in
You're
Washington.
Like a 5-minute drive from
you know
me.
Where Stanton's is?
Yes. They got good burgers there.
It's very close.
Really? Like, in that little neighborhood back there. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very close.
There's a Payne Road or a Payne Street right around in there, too.
I think there is.
Steal the sign.
Yeah.
I've got a couple Payne Road signs already.
32 years in the suburbs, boys. 32 years.
And here
in
you
suburbs.
Come. Here you come.
I'm city boy now.
We've been waiting.
Back where it all started.
It's
in
like
the
White Walkers coming from over the wall in Game of Thrones. Here they come.
I'm going to be
John
so
Lopez.
City life.
I can't wait to hang out and drink with you so very often.
You got
to
see my backyard.
Oh, there's a backyard.
Oh.
Of course there is. You got Gibson.
Front yard, you can see the skyline of downtown. Backyard's got full deck. Hold back. I got a studio in the back for my podcast.
You're going to be going to a lot of games and things like that?
Now I can go to Astros games more. I used to only go to Astros games when I had to.
Yeah.
Was that out loud?
Did I say that?
Exactly.
Oh, good.
Live with your parents, people. I don't know where. I'm with Seth. I don't know where this came from where that's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing if the kids aren't like doing their share.
Right.
Like, it's a bad thing if the kids aren't working or just freeloading.
They're leeching.
But, like, yeah. Like,
it's a bad thing if you hit 30.
Yeah.
If you hit 30.
Okay.
And you're still with live there. My parents, all my kids, all three of them, live between 6 months and a year at home.
Okay.
Got their job going, picked up a couple of checks that they didn't have to pay rent on.
Yeah.
With and stuff like it's the way to go. And you can travel, take a month-long trip. Who cares?
Who do you feel was more ready to sever the relationship of living together, you or your kids? Were they more ready to
100% us? Yeah. But we wanted them there. We wanted them there for at least 6 months or a year. Because once they go to college,
to be
once they go to college,
yeah,
you only cry one day.
Yeah,
you only cry one day.
That's your greatest.
Oh my
line.
God, that's such good advice for so many things.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's
John. That's is tremendous.
Right there.
That is tremendous.
You only cry,
you only cry one day.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. I'm gonna get that. That's gonna be my first tattoo, Sean.
You only cry for one day,
including the day that I'm getting the tattoo.
It hurts. What's
didn't
going on?
Say it would hurt like
this. Hi, Landry. What's going on the show today?
We got a lot of questions to ask. Would you live with your parents as a millionaire? Yeah. What's your biggest lovey concern early on? Was Babe Ruth actually real? What are the best hangover cures?
Oh, okay, good. I'm guessing it's not NyQuil marinated chicken. Good hangover causer, I would say.
We were talking about that today.
All right, we're done. We're out of time. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, antibodies, and I hope Sammy and James and Judy all move in with you next week.
Oh,
be awesome.
Bite your tongue. Just kidding, kids. All right, we're done. We're out of time.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.